AI at the core of its system, Workday is committed to delivering continuous innovation to prepare organizations for what's next. Workday, an enterprise platform for finance and HR rock stars.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from KU Theater and Dance, featuring KU students in musicals, comedy, contemporary drama, and dance, staged at Murphy Hall. Season lineup and tickets at kutheater.com.
83 degrees in Topeka, 79 in Lawrence, 82 in Manhattan. It's 6:06.
From NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 91.3 FM in Junction City, 96.1 FM in Lawrence. Lots of frequencies listed for you online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Topeka Symphony, presenting Sing, 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 arias and ensembles from opera and Broadway with opera singer Michael Spires and family. 7:30 p.m. Saturday, September 7th. Tickets at topekasymphony.org.
Thanks for joining us today. Coming up in our next half hour, we will learn more about the influencers who were invited to the Democratic National Convention. Did they influence? We will find out. We will check in with the end of the regular season for the WNBA. We will talk about certification fears for the Georgia election that's coming up. Georgia, the state, not the nation. And it's New Music Friday, rounding up the best new music of the week, including Laurie Anderson, one of my personal favorites. Let X equal X. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about that one because that's an old one, but an overview of new music coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Farmers Market every Saturday morning from 7:30 to 11:30 at 824 New Hampshire Street, downtown Lawrence, April through November, rain or shine. Find Lawrence Farmers Market on Facebook for more information.
Partly cloudy skies tonight, patchy fog rolling in very late. Lows in the lower 60s, patchy fog tomorrow morning, burning off by the afternoon. Highs in the lower 80s, clear tomorrow night with a low around 60. It's 82 degrees in Manhattan, 80 in Emporia, 84 in Chanute. It is 6:20.
In one truly unbelievable summer, on All Things Considered, from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock on your KPR stations for Weekend All Things Considered.
Support for KPR comes from Audio Reader, providing access to news, information, and the arts for people who are blind or visually impaired across Kansas, Missouri, and nationwide. Learn how you can make an impact at reader.ku.edu.
News headlines are up next. Partly cloudy skies tonight, fog rolling in very late in some portions of the KPR listening area, lows overnight in the lower 60s. It is 79 degrees in Lawrence, and it's 6:30.
To NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. The Kansas Department of Commerce is refuting allegations of corruption made by a former state employee. KPR's Jay Schaefer has more.
The death of Jonathan Clayton has sparked a firestorm in state government. Clayton was the interim city clerk in Peabody who disappeared and was later found dead. The 42-year-old once worked for the Kansas Department of Commerce. On August 8th, 5 days after he was last seen alive, an email purportedly from Clayton was sent to various state officials and news outlets. According to the Kansas Reflector, the email said it was, quote, being released following the death or incapacitation of Clayton. The email accuses Commerce Secretary David Toland of scheming with other officials to direct federal grant money to certain Kansas counties. Those officials have denied any wrongdoing. I'm Jay Schaefer.
A company that supplies tools and other products to places like Home Depot and Lowe's will build a new distribution center in Wyandotte County. Governor Laura Kelly announced today that Marshalltown is investing $27 million to build the facility. Once the project is completed, the company is expected to create 40 new jobs in the Kansas City area. Marshalltown's new 200,000-square-foot manufacturing facility will act as the company's satellite location and will include warehouse space and distribution. Some Flint Hills property owners can get help figuring out if their lot or building contains lead paint, asbestos, or other hazardous materials. They can get an evaluation of how the site was used historically, and some can get testing done at their site. These steps are often required when people seek small business loans. Jana Williams is with the Flint Hills Regional Council, which got a $1.5 million grant from the EPA to pay for the work. She says these steps can help revitalize historic areas.
It improves and protects the environment and people. It increases their local tax base. It can facilitate job growth. And it makes use of existing infrastructure and buildings.
The group works with both large and small communities like Junction City, Harrington, and Alta Vista. You can contact the Flint Hills Regional Council for more information. Patchy fog late tonight, otherwise partly cloudy with a low in the lower 60s. Tomorrow, clear, at least after 9 a.m. with a high in the lower 80s.
Support for NPR.
At Morning Edition from NPR News, we're talking about what you're talking about.
Beyoncé is not only revealing black cowboy culture, she's transforming country music forever.
Trying to understand the world.
What does this ceasefire proposal say?
And sometimes, annoying Jerry Seinfeld.
Are you seriously asking that?
Join us every weekday for a well-rounded start to your morning.
Tune in Monday morning, Monday through Friday, 5 to 9 a.m. It's Morning Edition on your KPR stations. Your host on Labor Day will be Mr. Tom Parkinson.
Support for KPR comes from F.W. Houston Medical Center Senior Living Center, providing senior care in Jefferson County for loved ones close to home. More information on tours and availability at 913-774-4340.
From the University of Kansas, it is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 89.7 FM in Emporia, 99.5 FM in Manhattan, many other frequencies. They are listed for you at kansaspublicradio.org, where you can also stream us 24 hours a day.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Public Library, offering downloadable ebooks, audiobooks, streaming movies, and more, all available with a library card. Card information at lplks.org.
Partly cloudy skies tonight, patchy fog after 5 a.m., lows overnight in the lower 60s. Tomorrow morning, patchy fog till 9 a.m. or so, becoming sunny, highs in the lower 80s. Clear tomorrow night with a low around 60, highs in the mid-80s for Sunday, highs in the upper 70s for Labor Day. Should be a nice one. 79 degrees in Lawrence, 82 in Manhattan. It's 10 minutes before 7.
Support for NPR comes from the station and from BritBox, dedicated to helping people discover British crime series, including new seasons of Silent Witness, Blue Lights, and The Responder starring Martin Freeman. Streaming at BritBox.com/NPR. From Your Part-Time Controller, U.S.-based staff helping nonprofits with their accounting, from bookkeeping to financial reporting and analysis to CFO services, YPTC.com/NPR. From Progressive Insurance, Progressive is looking for individuals in a variety of career fields who want to help build a culture of inclusiveness. More information, including application, at progressive.com/careers. And from the sustaining members of this NPR station.
Hi, I'm Joanna Kakissis in Kyiv, Ukraine. Wherever the story takes us, NPR does whatever it takes to get the story right. This is NPR.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City, 91.3, KANQ Chanute, 90.3, listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Eagles Rest, a locally owned custom furniture store in downtown Lawrence featuring Stressless brand chairs and other sustainably made handcrafted furniture. Information online at eaglesrestnaturalhome.com.
Thanks for joining us this evening. Up next, the BBC Proms. Tonight, music by Brahms, his final symphony. It's performed by the BBC Philharmonic. We'll also hear some Beethoven tonight. It's all coming your way in less than a minute here on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Partly cloudy skies for most of tonight. Patchy fog rolling in right around daybreak. Lows in the lower 60s. Patchy fog until around 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, then sunshine with highs in the lower 80s. It's 79 degrees in Lawrence and 83 in Topeka. It's 7:01. The BBC Proms are coming up next.
This is Symphony Cast from APM, American Public Media. I'm Steve Seal. We're back again this week at the Royal Albert Hall in London for the largest classical music festival in the world, the BBC Proms. This time, conductor Anya Billmeyer leads the BBC Philharmonic in what will be their final appearance at this year's Proms Festival for two giant works of the repertoire, and in the middle, a piece by a contemporary composer who passed away just this summer. To open, Beethoven's one and only Violin Concerto, considered not only one of the greatest of the 19th century violin works, but one of the most significant of all time. Violinist Tobias Feldman will be the soloist in that work, making his Proms debut. Then Sarah Gibson's Warp and Weft, a work described as a feminist collage by the young American composer, who died tragically this past July at the young age of 38. And for our finale, the crowning symphonic achievement of Johannes Brahms, his fourth. All ahead as we continue our summer residency at the 2024 BBC Proms Festival. Welcome to APM's Symphony Cast. Let's take our seats in the Royal Albert Hall now and turn things over to Georgia Mann in the BBC booth.
Good evening and welcome to the BBC Philharmonic's last prom of the season. They are heading off on a majestic note with two towering works of 19th century romanticism. Beethoven's Violin Concerto, for which the orchestra will be joined by German violinist Tobias Feldman, and Brahms's Fourth Symphony. And there's a particular frisson in the air because on the podium this evening is the woman who was named at the start of the week as the BBC Philharmonic's new principal guest conductor, Anya Billmeyer. Also on the bill of fare tonight, Warp and Weft, a piece by Sarah Gibson, who sadly died last month. It's inspired by the work of the artist Miriam Shapiro. It's Beethoven to start, writing for an instrument that he was pretty handy with. Piano was the instrument Beethoven really excelled at as a soloist, but he was a very decent violinist too. He played the viola in the court orchestra at Bonn. Beethoven's Violin Concerto was composed, like a lot of his music actually, at high speed. He finished it in late 1806. It was written for the violinist Franz Clement, at whose concert the previous year Beethoven's Eroica Symphony had premiered. Fast forward to August the 8th, 2024, and Tobias Feldman is in the solo spotlight, making his Proms debut. Applause there for the leader of the BBC Philharmonic, Yuri Torchinsky, making his way across the stage, taking a bow. Well, I noticed the Telegraph were in raptures about Tobias Feldman's ravishing unspotted lyricism, which I'd say will come in handy tonight. And here he comes, Tobias Feldman, alongside his fellow German, Anya Billmeyer, making their way centre stage, shaking hands with the orchestra leader. We are going to hear the BBC Philharmonic with Tobias Feldman in Beethoven's Violin Concerto.
Thank you. Thank you.
Beethoven's Violin Concerto, performed here at the BBC Proms by Tobias Feldman, making his Proms debut this evening with the BBC Philharmonic, conducted by Anya Bielmeier. The two of them, conductor and soloist, taking a joint vow. At the first performance of this concerto, the solo cadenzas in the first and third movements were improvised. In fact, poor old Clement, the violinist at that first performance, actually had to sight read quite a lot because I think Beethoven might have got a little bit behind in his composition. However, Beethoven never did write any violin cadenzas of his own, but he did create them for a piano version of this concerto. And in performances today, there's a number of alternatives you can use, but tonight, Tobias played the cadenzas by Wolfgang Schneiderhan. Basically a transcription back to the violin of the piano ones created by Beethoven himself. And in that first movement cadenza, that brilliant interplay with the timpani, our timpanist tonight, Paul Turner. Tobias Feldman's back. He was telling me earlier on that what he loves about that concerto is the elegance and the melodies. I did think that was a particularly elegant performance. His tone, just liquid, spun gold in the cadenzas. Orchestra on their feet now. Anya Bielmeier gesturing to them and again taking Tobias's hand, another bow. I think we might get something else.
Thank you very much. The encore is probably the most beautiful engagement present of all time. Which Edward Elgar gifted to his later wife. Please enjoy Salut d'amour.
Thank you.
Elgar's Salut d'Amour. An encore from Tobias Feldman, who made his proms debut this evening and has truly been taken to the collective hearts of the prommers. Wonderful response when that encore began. Joined, of course, by the BBC Philharmonic, who are playing their last prom of the season here this evening. Anja Bielmeier, Tobias's fellow German.
A gentle encore from Tobias Feldman, capping off his performance of Beethoven's Violin Concerto. Very well received by this prom's audience. And that brings us to the midpoint of our concert from the Royal Albert Hall here on SymphonyCast. We are at the 2024 BBC Proms Festival, the largest, longest-running, and most celebrated classical music festival in the world, taking place over the course of 8 weeks every summer here in London. Stay with us. Still to come, the BBC Philharmonic performs a contemporary work by the late American composer Sarah Gibson and Brahms' beloved Symphony No. 4. That's on the way on APM's SymphonyCast.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, KANQ Chanute, and always online at kansaspublicradio.org. You're listening to the BBC Proms here on a Friday evening. There'll be more in a moment. Tonight at 9, it'll be jazz with Bob McWilliams. Every day you hear the difference on KPR, in-depth news and thoughtful civil conversations. Our news coverage is made possible by listeners like you. More than 84% of KPR's operating budget comes from private support. Now more than ever is the time to invest in KPR and the news that matters. Discover how you can make a difference. Contribute now at support.kansaspublicradio.org. And thanks to all of you for your support of KPR.
Welcome back to APM's SymphonyCast. If you're just joining us, we're at London's Royal Albert Hall once again this week for the 2024 BBC Proms, the largest and longest-running classical music festival in the world. Still to come, Johannes Brahms' final essay in the symphonic form, his monumental Symphony No. 4. But to begin the second half of our concert, a work by the American composer Sarah Gibson, who died tragically just this answer at the young age of 38. Sarah Gibson had been working on a brand new commission for the BBC Proms, which was to have been premiered at this concert, but she was unable to complete it. Seeking to honor Gibson's life and career, however, conductor Anja Bielmeier has chosen to lead the BBC Philharmonic in another of Gibson's works, which we'll hear about in a moment as we hand it back over to the BBC. Now let's return to the Royal Albert Hall to join the BBC's Georgia Man.
Well, it's time for the second half of tonight's prom from the BBC Philharmonic and the woman announced just this week as their new principal guest conductor, Anja Bielmeier. And we've just been hearing about Sarah Gibson, the American composer who died last month and whose brand new work was due to be played right now. Instead, we're going to hear Warp and Weft, an homage to the work of visual artist Miriam Shapiro, who coined the term femage. It means feminist collage, and the term refers to any activity practiced by women using traditional women's techniques to achieve their art. Weaving is very much one of those. Sarah Gibson said this piece is particularly inspired by the art of weaving. She said, I visualized a loom and the act of weaving while composing, in which the weft, horizontal axis of the loom, is represented by sections dedicated to gradually developing melodies, and the warp, the vertical axis of the loom, depicts the sections identified by strong vertical chords. Throughout the piece, said Sarah Gibson, I imagine Shapiro's studio, a place full of colour, with various materials and ideas swirling around in a fantastical way as she moves from medium to medium. And here comes Anja Bielmeier now, bringing the BBC Philharmonic to their feet. We will hear Sarah Gibson's Warp and Weft.
Thank you.
Music written by a composer lost to us far too soon, the late Sarah Gibson. That was her Warp and Weft, the BBC Philharmonic conducted by Anya Billmeyer. Sarah Gibson died aged 38 from colon cancer just a few weeks ago. And that piece opening the second half of tonight's prom, which is the last for the BBC Philharmonic of their season. Sarah's husband and parents are here this evening. And we're really pleased to say that the piece she had been working on to premiere here at the proms, Beyond the Beyond, will be performed by the BBC Philharmonic in March. Anya Billmeyer gesturing to timpanists and percussionists. Some wonderful textural details in that piece. The woodwinds now on their feet. If you wondered if you were hearing the sound of paper ripping, you were, and it was the woodwinds who were ripping said paper. As I say, that piece that was due to be performed here, which we know Sarah Gibson was so excited about, it will be performed by the BBC Philharmonic in March in a version to which her longtime colleague, the composer and pianist Thomas Kotcheff, will put the final touches according to her wishes. Well, now for the denouement of tonight's prom, Brahms's Fourth Symphony. The first time this work was unveiled to the public was in Meiningen, in a two-piano version, with Brahms as one of the pianists. The critic, Eduard Hanslick, was on page-turning duty. That would have made me rather nervous. And later, he said of the opening movement, he said, "For this whole movement, I had the feeling that I was being given a beating by two incredibly intelligent people." Well, that comment has somewhat stuck, but it is worth recalling, though, that Hanslick also said, "For the musician, there is not another modern piece so productive as a subject for study. It is like a dark well. The longer we look into it, the more brightly the stars shine back." Well, tonight's conductor, Anya Billmeyer, has described some elements of this symphony as being like the sea, others as reminding her of a Turner painting. I asked her what she thinks Brahms might have been trying to work out in this symphony.
The interesting thing about this absolutely perfection of architecture and about sound, so it has to be very clean in a way, very strict, and you need a lot of discipline. But inside, it's this huge passion and this huge freedom, also in tempo and everything, but you should not lose the organization and the perfect architecture. And this is a balanced thing you have to find as a conductor and together with the orchestra, and especially when the audience is there and you share all these emotions, to keep it stylish still. And then It's the pure truth, I think, what comes out. And it's so special in our world because we have so many things which are just on the surface. But this music, if you really take it serious and if you're not doing too much, but just being yourself and believing in the beautiness of this piece, then it's just a wonder.
Tonight's conductor, Anya Billmeyer, there on the symphony that we are about to hear, Brahms's fourth. From the mid-1920s until the mid-1960s, it was the custom to play all four Brahms symphonies every season at the Proms, a tradition that was revived in 2011. And when this symphony first made it to the Proms, it was in the 1907 season with Henry Wood conducting his Queen's Hall Orchestra. And this isn't exactly a small-scale work, this symphony, but in that prom, it appeared alongside two Mozart overtures, a Vincent Dandy piece, A Symphony on a Mountain Song, that one was called, and indeed the prelude and Liebestod from Wagner's Tristan and Isolde. So just a little from there, thanks to Henry Wood. Well, here comes Anya Billmeyer now. Standing on the podium, we're going to hear Brahms's fourth.
Thank you. Well, we'd like to think that if you can't be present in person for the proms for that bargain price of £8, best thing is surely to catch it right here on the radio. And we are honored to be your source here in America for concerts from the BBC Proms Festival here on SymphonyCast. I'm Steve Seal, taking it back now from Georgia Man from the BBC, but never fear, we will return to the 2024 BBC Proms Festival yet again next week, and we'll continue bringing you highlights from the proms in the weeks to come here on the program. This week's concert featured music by Beethoven, Sarah Gibson, and Brahms. Don't forget, these proms concerts can be enjoyed again at our website, but only for a few short weeks. To listen, head to yourclassical.org/symphonycast. While on our website, you can also like us on Facebook and download free music. Again, that's yourclassical.org/symphonycast. APM's SymphonyCast is produced by Daniel Naz, with technical director Michael Osborne and assistance from Tania Major. I'm Steve Seal. We'll see you again next time on SymphonyCast. This is APM, American Public Media, bringing music to life.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City. KANQ Chanute. And always online at Kansas Public Radio. .org. Thanks for joining us for tonight's broadcast of the BBC Proms. If you'd like to hear that concert again, you can do so at a limited time over at yourclassical.org/symphonycast. Stay tuned for NPR News, followed by Jazz with Bob McWilliams. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, a low of 60 degrees. A foggy morning in store for us tomorrow, becoming sunny with a high in the mid-80s. And for Saturday night, skies clear with a low of 59. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Winter Johnston. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump was back on the campaign trail in western Pennsylvania tonight. Speaking to a crowd in Johnstown, Trump started off the rally by taking aim at his Democratic opponent, Vice President Kamala Harris.
67 days from now, we're going to win Pennsylvania. We're going to defeat Comrade Kamala Harris. Did you see her? Did you see her last night? Did you see her last night? I don't know. But we're going to win back the White House. We're going to make this country greater than it's ever been.
This is Trump's fourth visit to Pennsylvania since the assassination attempt against him during a rally in Butler County last month. Meanwhile, Vice President Harris and President Biden will campaign in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on Labor Day to mobilize what they hope will be a strong union base. Uber has lost a major lawsuit in Washington state. It's about a driver who was killed by two Uber passengers. NPR's Derek Kerr reports that the court ruled Uber had a duty of care to that driver.
Terno Cisse was an Uber driver in Washington state when he was killed in a carjacking in 2020. The night of his death, Uber matched Cisse with two passengers who used false names. Court records say these passengers created the bogus Uber account specifically to carjack the driver. Uber has argued it's not responsible for third-party criminal activity on its platform. So far, lower courts in Washington have agreed. But now the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that Uber does have a duty of care when pairing drivers with riders. The court also ruled that carjacking was foreseeable. Uber knew it was a risk. This case could open the door for similar lawsuits against Uber over drivers who've been killed or injured by passengers. Dara Kerr, NPR News.
Honduras says it's ending an extradition treaty with the United States. NPR's Ada Peralta reports the treaty has been in force since 1912.
Throughout history, the treaty has been used to extradite dozens of Honduran politicians to the United States so they could face trial. The most high profile was former President Juan Orlando Hernandez, who was extradited to the U.S. in 2022. He was found guilty of drug trafficking and sentenced to 45 years in prison. The Honduran president, Xiomara Castro, decided to end the treaty after the U.S. ambassador in Honduras criticized a high-level meeting between Honduran and Venezuelan officials. In a statement, Castro said U.S. meddling in Honduras was intolerable. The U.S. attacks and violates international norms that advance the sovereignty and self-determination of a people, she said. It's enough. Ada Peralta, NPR News, Mexico City.
This is NPR. A labor dispute between Canada's largest freight railroads and their workers could end up in court. The union, which represents workers at the country's two largest freight railroads, says it's filed lawsuits challenging government orders that forced striking employees back to work. When the NFL season begins in just a few weeks, some players will be wearing an extra layer of padding over their helmets. But NPR's John Hamilton reports that there's little evidence the additional cushioning helps protect a player's brain.
The softshell covers are called guardian caps, and they give a player's helmet a decidedly bulbous appearance. The devices have been used in NFL practices since 2020 and are now required during practice for most players. This is the first year they will be allowed during games. The NFL says the extra padding reduces the force of impact and the risk of a concussion, but several scientific studies have found little evidence that the caps do much to reduce impact or the chance of a brain injury. A 2023 study, for example, concluded that the devices helped a bit in a laboratory setting, but made no significant difference on the field. John Hamilton, NPR News.
Former President Donald Trump is trying to move his hush money criminal case out of New York into federal court. The request comes just weeks before he's scheduled to be sentenced. A jury found Trump guilty on 34 counts of falsifying business records to cover up an alleged affair with an adult film star to help get him himself reelected in 2016. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Visit St. Pete Clearwater, Florida, where fall color seekers can find miles of sugary white sand beaches and emerald green gulf waters, as well as fiery red, orange, and yellow sunsets. More at visitspc.com.
vibraphonist Terry Gibbs kicking off tonight's Jazz in the Night on KPR with his tune called King City Stomp. The Terry Gibbs Quartet from 1955, the band had a really terrific young woman playing piano from Detroit. She was Terry Pollard, and she made a couple of albums with Terry Gibbs and didn't really like touring, went back to Detroit and stayed local and focused on her family for the most part. But a brilliant, brilliant player, also a great vibes player too. Anyway, Terry Gibbs with Terry Pollard, Herman Wright on bass, and the bassist Niels Bertie Dahlander. Here on KPR with new music from Canadian bassist Neil Swainson up next. And after that, we'll hear some more from Russell Malone. We're featuring his music this week after the untimely passing of Russell while on tour in Japan last week. I'm Bob McWilliams, your host for Jazz in the Night. Neil Swainson has been a mainstay for decades in the Canadian jazz scene. But right now, just his third album as a leader, although he stayed so busy, I'm not sure he had time. He has another great Canadian musician with him, Rini Rosnes on piano, with Quincy Davis drum, Steve Davis trombone, Kelly Jefferson saxophone, and Brad Turner trumpet. Neil Swainson wrote all the music. He calls this one Bend. Bassist Neil Swainson on KPR. the Canadian bassist Neil Swainson's new album, Here for a While. And here tonight on KPR, his composition Band, and everybody in the band had a nice solo there. Brad Turner on trumpet, Kelly Jefferson tenor sax, Renee Rosnes at the piano, Steve Davis.